All right, I've got a couple of questions here, so we'll start with these, and then perhaps take a few moments, if anybody else would like to speak, to express a question. First one says, should we take the commands from God's word about worship the way he wants it to be, primarily internal or external in our lives? Are these commands for internal or external application? I'm not sure I want to pick between those two. As with any response to God's word, if it doesn't start with internal, if it isn't changing the heart first, then any external change would be pretension. And on the other hand, just to change the external without affecting the heart, well, that's sounding like pretension. That's the one that's pretension. The other one would be inhibition. To have it on the inside but not show it on the outside, I don't think that pleases God either. So it has to be our goal for both internal and external compliance to what pleases God, the way he wants it to be. And we can say further, even from one of the passages this morning, it needs to be both corporate worship, and that's where most of our attention is going to be in our study in these coming weeks, but also individual worship. And that's the worship that transfers to every aspect of life and all day, every day. God's interested in both of those, interested intensely. There's a close connection between the two. Another question says, where does excellence figure into worship? We must offer the right kind of worship to God, but what if the worship is lacking in quality? Does God overlook lower quality as long as it's the right kind of worship? And that question seems to get into the category of ability, personal ability, and the ability of an individual to do what God wants in an excellent way, or even the ability of a church to have a corporate worship service that rises to the level of excellence. In both cases, individually and corporately, the standard is the very best you can do. I think I've mentioned this sometime in the past, but when our girls were real young and in an elementary school, I entered one of their classrooms one time to see a statement on the bulletin board. In fact, this might have been in second grade, and that narrows down who the teacher was. But I'm not really sure it was second grade, so Pat Ainsworth, I have to tell us afterward whether this was in her classroom, because I think she probably would know. The statement on the board was, your very best will be just fine. So that comes from God. His principle is, as long as you are doing the best you can. Let's suppose we had somebody else playing a trumpet solo next week, and perhaps they haven't been playing for 45 years or more. Or teaching for, I'm not going to calculate in my mind how many years Dan's been teaching as well. That individual, God will expect, and so will the rest of us, to do that individual's very best, whatever that is. So yes, does excellence figure into our worship of God? Yes, but the standard is as excellent as we can make it. Anything less than that makes it half-hearted. And so I think that also is important in determining how to please God. God expects us to have the right pattern to follow, and then with our whole heart, doing the very best we can to bring him honor. This one isn't written down, but somebody mentioned to me as they were leaving the service this morning that God had really spoken and just convinced them that this whole principle of finding out and then doing whatever pleases God is so important. But there is a family member that is moving in the direction of the pleasing people kind of worship. And what a concern that was for that family member. And so I wanted to expand on that, because that wasn't so much a question as it was a circumstance. But I know that circumstance prompts a question, and that is, what about people in those kinds of churches? How would they have responded to the passages that we looked at this morning? Is it very likely that they would have all been convinced? Or is it of course, that's always possible as God's Spirit works through His Word. But the reality is, somebody hearing that same message this morning, looking at those same passages, might comfort themselves if they're already thinking in terms of I really need to be pleased, and that's really okay. Here's a response that I sometimes get from individuals in that category, that, well, all right, I understand that there are other people that take a different interpretation of those verses. And almost everybody knows somebody who has interpreted it in another way, or maybe they've never heard, but they know somebody else that is really into contemporary worship, and that's the category that they're diving into in pleasing self, and they're just confident that if they asked their pastor, that pastor would have an answer. He would have an interpretation. And so it is comforting for people to fall back on that as, well, I'm struggling to give an answer myself to how I should respond and defend pleasing me in worship, but I'm sure somebody else could. And so I'm not going to get too worried about it. I'm afraid that's often the case. And the assumption there might be that every church, every worship leader has searched God's word to get the answer to the question, what kind of worship really pleases God? The thing is I'm afraid that might be more assumption than reality. I've read many books on the subject of contemporary worship. And again, I don't want to harp on that, but because, as I acknowledged this morning, we have just as much of an issue in a traditional worship service. The difference, though, is that I've read the books, and people in our circles that also struggle with this, which is all of us, we're not writing about pleasing ourselves. It's something we're trying to hide. It's something we don't even want to acknowledge openly. But in a contemporary circle, they are acknowledging it openly. They're convinced it's all right, and they're writing books about it. So I've read books in that category, and the reality is, at least for the ones that are writing the books that I have read, they are not searching Scripture, asking the question, what pleases God? They are specifically designing their services asking a different question. What pleases people? What can we do that would please people to the point where they'll come to our church? That actually is reality. That's not me being critical and only painting part of the picture. And I'm not saying that nobody in that camp looks at Scripture and asks what pleases God, but it is not what is dominating their attention. Certainly not dominating their written literature. So I take that as a major point of distinction. And neither am I claiming that we are doing it all the way we ought to. But I can say we want to be in that category. We are striving for that. And by God's grace, as we discern areas in which our worship to God can be closer to what pleases him, we are very eager to do that. And have made many changes over the years in that direction. Yes, Art, go ahead and speak. We're not going to hand the microphone around, and I'll just repeat your question as long as I can hear it. All right, Art says that there are people that would say that whatever you do is, it almost, I'm going to use a little different words than Art did to represent what he just said, but that it's almost like it's automatically worshipful just because of who we are. Are you a child of God? Well, then you go to work, you are worshiping him. In your home, your interaction with your family, you are worshiping God almost by virtue of just doing something. If that was the case, if it was quite that easy, would Paul have had to give the command in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. See, anytime we see a command, that means that that action isn't automatic. It's not natural. It's not going to happen without concerted effort, without a determination, and without one more thing, without dependence on God's grace. To think that this is so easy, I just have to practically exist. It's sin that is that easy. Without trying, that's what we do. Glorifying God, no, that doesn't happen without effort and dependence on God's grace. Sir, yes. Sure. The three passages were Genesis 22, 1 through 18, Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, and Romans 14, verses 5 through 9. See, I was paying attention. Anyone else? All right. Very good. Thank you.